This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
When you posted this, what kind of reaction did you get?
Ooh, a lot of hate, a lot of death threats.
Right now, for example, in Gaza, almost 12,000 names have been documented of children that have been killed.
If the opportunity was to open, would you ever visit Gaza?
Of course.
Innocent life, whether all, children all human or others life is should precious. Be protected. And we stand.
And we're going to Mecca.
And we're going to Mecca, that's it. So let's you, as Horace Gracie, you believe that there is none that should be worshipped except one God?
That family.
They changed the world.
The world.
Royce Gracie proved it in the UFC, and he changed martial arts forever. And that family's probably the most consequential, the most important, significant family in the history of martial arts. The Gracie family changed martial arts worldwide.
We have one God, His name's Allah, Allah. And His final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon Him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
Dude, I love you very much. I love the work that you're doing.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
And I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Deen Show. I'm Eddie, your host, and I got two esteemed guests. To my right, I got Sheikh Uthman ibn Farouk, no stranger to the Deen Show. And making his second appearance, we have the legend, for those who are familiar with the UFC. I don't think there'd be a UFC if it wasn't for the Gracie family and Royce Gracie, not one, two, three championships with the UFC. Is that correct? Brought jiu-jitsu to the Americas, all over the world now.
If it wasn't for Horion, Horion is the one that created the UFC.
Your brother Horion.
He had that division on... But a lot of people misunderstood in the beginning. They thought that the Gracies are arrogant. They are trying to put down the other styles. No, we're in a curiosity to find out what works and what doesn't. So everybody claims karate is the best, kung fu is the best. How can we find out? Let's put karate against kung fu. See who wins.
There you go.
Take all the rules, time limit, weight division out, and let them fight. So it was more of a curiosity that my family had to find out if our style really works, if I fight somebody bigger, stronger, you see champion on their styles.
Definitely the mission was accomplished. I got excited seeing him fight, and then I went from boxing, kickboxing, and I jumped into this, and I don't know if you remember, go ahead.
What you got excited wasn't because of me fighting. It was a technique that you saw.
Yes.
So it wasn't me, I was just the face of it. It couldn't be anybody. It was a technique that impressed everybody.
Absolutely, yes.
So people a lot of times try to, oh, but because of you, it wasn't me. I was just a product of my father's work.
Absolutely.
You executed the technique well.
Very well.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Sheikh Uthman, you know, we're going some history, maybe he's forgot, but when I first started, I think it was the Michigan. I wanted to compete, and then the tournament was there, and he was actually reffing. Let me see if we can find some old footage. And yeah. He was the ref for the division. I was a white belt at that time.
Nice.
And he was reffing, I don't remember. And then I got the okay. I got my lineage starts from him. I got the blue belt.
Wow, you got him. Your ijazah from him.
Yes.
The Islamic method of accreditation, we call ijazah. So you accredit him, and then his yeah. students, and so on.
And I've stayed with the Gracie family the whole time, all the way, yeah.
I mean, the Gracies are legends, I mean, no doubt. I mean, I've always heard about Gracies and their contribution and the techniques, again, that they brought.
The technique,
that's the
yes.
most important thing.
Something brings us here, something unique. There was a situation, and we can discuss it. And you actually had a seminar booked. In Bosnia.
Yes.
Yes, my cousin had arranged Professor Radzovic Idris to have you out in Bosnia. And then there was a post. You had posted something. And that set a fire off. And that brings us here today. We got on the phone and we got to
get a lot of misunderstanding.
There's some misunderstanding. Hoyce, can you talk to us? Tell us what was it? Because that kind of took a lot of people. You have a lot of Muslim fans. You have people from all, you've visited Kuwait, Abu Dhabi. You've been all around the Muslim world. And you, when you posted this, what kind of reaction did you get?
Ooh, a lot of hate. A lot of death threats. Yep.
Sad.
People were like, you come over here, we're gonna kill you, and to call me names. And but if you read the post carefully, I sympathize with the people that die in October 7. To me, it's like you ask me, hey Hoyce, do you like oranges? And I say, you know what? No, I don't like oranges. Oh my God, why do you hate Florida? Why you don't like the beach?
Right.
What do you have against the beach, the sun? Oh my, it's like, no, that's not what I said.
Right.
I sympathize with every civilian that's dying
yeah.
on both sides. On the Palestinian side over there, do you see on the Israeli side? But people took that offense that I'm against Muslims. No, I'm not. That's the first thing I did was call my Muslim friends and say, guys, are we good? Yeah. Like I did with your cousin. He's like, no, man, we're good. It's just people misunderstood.
Well, this is the great thing of having communication so we can clarify things, because people do read into things that are not there, right?
And yes, they interpret
exactly
what they want interpreted. It's like I said, I'm against Hamas. And, oh my God, you're against Palestinians. You're in favor of genocide, the kids. Yeah. No,
yeah.
I never said that. So I'm against all genocides. You see, all killing on civilians on both sides.
As Muslims, we believe that all human life, especially that of innocent children, should be preserved, right? We believe that, you know, unless somebody commits a crime or something that's different. But right now, for example, in Gaza, almost 12,000 names have been documented of children that have been killed, right? None of us would agree that that's a good thing. I think you would agree that those children...
That's bad.
That's bad.
Not just children.
Right? Women.
Men.
Non-combatants.
Civilians.
Civilians. And Gaza is very interesting because people don't realize the history before October 7th of 2023. You know, since 2007, the people of Gaza are not allowed to leave. 2007. Uh-huh. I'm talking about, you know, I don't know how many years is that, right?
It's not so long ago.
It's, yeah, so I mean, people cannot leave. It's a prison. And since 2008, they haven't had an election. So it's not like they can choose even, right? And when Israel and the IDF go in and bomb hospitals and churches and buildings, the people don't have a choice. So just like we feel for any... Jewish children that are killed, if whatever, we feel that's wrong. As Muslims, we do, as the Quran teaches us, as the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, taught us, we don't believe in non-combatants even being involved in war. But at the same time, it's very sad when the world is seeing continuously right now a massacre going on and people are not standing for those innocent people being killed. The UN, almost every country is saying we need to stop this massacre, which has no goal. It's not a war that where Israel is going after the leadership of Hamas. They're bombing 2 million people that can't leave. It's not like they can get up and go to Egypt or Jordan. The borders are closed, you know? So I think there's a lot of sensitive feelings, obviously. And that's why I really appreciate you coming out and making that clarification.
That's a huge step. I mean, because him coming out and to go ahead and clarify and to talk with us, because there is a lot of conditioning, programming, and people are getting this vision that Muslims hate Jews, they want to eradicate Jews. So let's start with that. Because you're an imam, you're a mufti, so you're a religious cleric, an Islamic cleric. Does your religion, Islam, teach you to hate Jews, to want to eradicate Jews from the face of the earth?
Absolutely not. I mean, if you look at Islam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, when he made the famous hijrah, which is when he went from Mecca to Medina, he migrated. This is where the Islamic calendar began. This is a very important aspect of the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, when he came to Medina, he made peace treaties with the Jewish tribes there. You know, Banu Qaynuqa, all the major tribes there, they made peace treaties to live and defend Medina together. Banu Qurayda and others. Even at the battles where those treaties were violated, even after that, Jews lived in Medina. Even in the time of the caliphates of Abu Bakr and Umar later, Jews, Muslims and Christians were there. There were people that would come and ask questions of Uthman, for example. If you look at Palestine and the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi, you know, Saladin.
You heard of Salahuddin Ayyubi?
Yeah, so I mean, even any Western historian will tell you that unlike the Crusaders, the Muslims ruled there with Jews having synagogues and Christians having churches and their rights protected. Now, when we look at the issue of Palestine, people forget the history, right? When the major populations of Palestinians were forcefully moved out, taken out of their homes, when the genocide that has been going on against Palestinians for way before October 7th. And even now, when we look at the issue going on, it's not a Muslim-Jewish issue. You know, it's not like there's any Jews and Muslims fighting in Indonesia or Malaysia or something. It's an issue where, okay, Hamas and the Israeli government have an issue, but the bombing is not of Hamas. It is of by a government, by an actual government, bombarding 2 million civilians that have nowhere to go. 1.5 million of them have been displaced from their own homes right now. And children that have nothing to do with Hamas, nothing to do with Hezbollah, whatever, nothing to do with any political party that are being killed, this is where our hearts are yearning. Just like our hearts would pain for any Jewish children or Christian children or the children of any atheist, we don't believe that that should be acceptable, especially by an actual government. I mean, a government that is got, you know, $50 billion of U.S. tax dollar going, right? So, I mean, our senators are writing billions of dollars of checks that could go towards healthcare, that could go towards jobs, that could go towards helping the U.S. where it's needed. And bombs that are being bought from that are killing innocent people. And this is where I think all of us would agree this is wrong.
I don't know if Hoyce knows, maybe he does, but or many people, our viewing audience, that before 1948, you had Jews, Christians, and Muslims living in a relative peace there, sure, in Jerusalem. There was a peace. But then what happened was you had the Europeans coming over, and now what's called Zionists. So Muslims have nothing against Jews, because I've had many Jewish rabbis. Explain what is
Zionism is a, so it's a differentiation. Ideology, yeah, that came up to ideology, make a homeland, yes, for the Jews. I mean, it's a well-known ideology. But the interesting thing is, there are many Orthodox practicing religious Jews that are very opposed to Zionism.
Until Zionism came about, Jews flourished as distinctly religious Jewish communities, and they weren't massacred. On the contrary, they went to these Arab and Muslim lands to escape persecution from the Crusades, from the Inquisition, and from many other trials and tribulations, and and even World War II. The Arab and Muslim lands opened their hearts, opened their lands, and provided a safe haven and a gracious hospitality for the Jewish people.
And that's why a lot of the protests, you will see them as well, because they feel that that the way that the Jewish people are going to get their homeland was through the will of God. And by using, for example, the King David hotel bombing and using terrorism for the goals of Zionism, which is historic, many Jews feel that it caused this conflict that is still going on. And again, World War II and the Holocaust and all that happened is something horrible, and we condemn it. And I think it would have been a great idea to cut a piece of Germany and give it to the Jewish people as a homeland for the horrible massacre that they went through at the hands of the Germans. I just don't understand what the Palestinians had done to be kicked out of their homes, you know, because of what Germany did. And because of that conflict that the British and the Europeans started, we're still seeing this problem. People that, for example, I don't know if you've been to any Palestine or Israel occupied.
To Israel many times.
Right, so for example, when you went, did you notice that people that of the Jewish faith have different rights than those of the Christian or Muslim faith? For example, in Tel Aviv or I've never been to Tel Aviv, I've been to Jerusalem or Quds, regular Jews can walk around with guns. But Palestinian police can't even have guns. So that's not a state that has equal rights for its citizens, right? That's an apartheid where some people are given certain rights that others are not. Even when I would enter from the border crossing, there would be different lines for Jews and non-Jews. And that's something I don't think any of us find acceptable, right?
I agree.
Yeah, good.
But there's a small minority, mm-hmm. kind of like we see that all over the world, like in America.
Sure, sure.
A small minority right. of group of people that makes a big talk.
True.
It's a small minority of terrorists
right.
that comes over and kill innocent, blow themselves up,
sure.
killing as many as they can. You see, I've been to Israel many times and it happened when I was there.
Sure.
It's like a guy would go to a bus stop and yeah. blow himself up, and killed 4 or 5 people in one
innocent
shot.
People. Yeah.
Innocent people, sometimes soldiers that are there getting ready to get the bus to go to work.
Mm.
It's like I'm not justifying
I agree.
What the Israelis are doing
yeah.
by not letting them have weapons, you see. But it's a question of not trusting.
Right.
So,
well, that's a question then. When half your population is, and according to the statistics right now, half of it is Arab Palestinians, and you don't trust that half, and you put that half behind lines.
It's more than half. They're civilians.
Right. right.
It's yeah. a small minority.
So what I'm saying is when that half of the country all has to share, I'll give you an example, right? You're from Brazil, right? So for example, if some Brazilians get together and they make a gang, for example, and they rob cars or they, you know, rob people and steal cars, for example, some bad apples, sure it could happen, right? And then we say, okay, no Brazilian can drive a car.
Yep.
No Brazilian
it's a
can.
Small minority, it's a small group
right?
of people.
So after a while, as somebody of Brazilian heritage, you would get sick of it. Right? You would start saying, hey, why are you blaming me for the actions of that small minority? And when it continues, when we say, okay, well, we're going to take your car because somebody Brazilian had stolen a car, in the end, you're going to start reacting in ways sometimes in the wrong way, right? Because you just get sick of it. So what people forget about October 7th is what happened October 6th and 5th and 4th and since the 40s. 1948 and then before that. So when you have a organized method of stealing a people's lands, I don't know if you've been to Jordan, right? I was
yes.
in Jordan. The population of Jordan is about 5 million. 4 million of that is displaced Palestinians, right? They were forcefully kicked out of their houses, their lands. They can't go back to their own house. They can't visit their own families. They don't have any status.
What's the population of Jordan?
About 5 million.
That's it?
That's it, yeah. And 4 million of that are not
borders Jewish. Already let 7 million people walk in.
Well, exactly.
More than 7 million, wow.
Right?
More than yeah. a country came in.
Exactly, more than some country.
Well, let's
yeah.
not change subjects, yes.
I don't mind, yeah.
Sorry.
So this is very important to always understand the history behind things. How did Hamas get to be? How did the PLO get to be? Why was there a reason for armed resistance?
Because wasn't it before this? And look, we're not any card-carrying members of Hamas or...
Not at all. I don't support any yeah.
But before
terrorist
Hamas,
organization.
It was the PLO. It was yeah. whoever else. It was like when you subjugate and oppress a people, like let's take this legend here, and if you try to oppress this man, like let's say your family, what do you think in Brazil they would do if someone... What's the neighboring state? Or let's say Zionists came over to Brazil. And they started to, I know you guys have, your father, Helio Gracie, got a beautiful farm over there, right? Let's say Zionists came, or whoever, and they started to land grab. Like you have how many, 800,000?
It does happen in Brazil.
Yeah.
yeah.
Illegal, you so have illegal settlements, or people stealing other
people's
land.
When that happens in Brazil, what do you do?
Right now, the law is, you are not allowed to do a thing, but what they call is, there's a name for that, for the people that, have no land, no homes. If I have a huge farm, if they come in and they say, you know what, we're gonna take it because you're not using.
Wow.
Well, I use for plantation now because we need a place to live.
Wow.
And they just take it.
They
and the government
it.
Say, it's okay.
Wow.
It's like, there's no way to fight. There's no, we can't buy guns in Brazil.
Yeah.
So, and they just take it.
Wow.
It's like, and there's nothing that people can do about it.
So for example, if
it's hard, it's very difficult.
I mean, your land is one thing, but let's say your own home. Let's say somebody walks into your house and says, you know what, my great-great-great-great-grandfather lived here, so get out.
they make people do that.
Wow. So do you think that's right?
There's a name for that, for the movement. And they'll come in and go, sorry, man, pack your stuff, you gotta leave. Wow. I've seen videos of people come to the door and they come by massive group. You can't fight a massive group.
Yeah. For someone who has had that in their family for generations, yeah. generations, the question is that right?
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Yeah. It's not.
So the same thing with the Palestinian peoples who were forcefully kicked out of their own homes. And the UN has passed resolutions on this. It always gets vetoed either by the US or UK. Right now, the ceasefire, the entire world is saying, hey, at least stop fighting. You know, let's, you know, you've already killed 12,000 children in Gaza. And these are documented names. These are not like, you know, numbers that are thrown out. At least let humanitarian aid come into Gaza. At least let the people of Gaza go and seek treatment in other places when they have their legs blown off and the borders have been closed. And this is why, you know, it's very important when we condemn October 7th, and no doubt we condemn the killing of any innocent human beings. We also condemn the what's been going on before and after that from the IDF and terrorists organizations like that.
And I think, Hoyce, the thing is very important, like you were saying, that they're trying to make this out like this is a Jew-Muslim thing. And if you look at, for instance, like I said, we have nothing to do with Hamas or whatnot, but listening to I was listening to one of the leaders of Hamas, he said, look, if that was my own brother taking my land, if that was a Muslim taking my land, right. I want to fight the person taking my land. Yeah. So we have nothing against the Jews. Just don't take my land. That's it. Right? Let me live in peace. Don't control the water that I fish in. Don't control my electricity, the water that I drink. They have total control over all of this.
Open air prison.
They don't even say, they actually, you know, and this
yeah,
is not
open air prison. Yeah.
But they say this is an open air concentration camp because even the prisoners have certain rights, you follow me, that they don't have. So this is the thing where you suppress and you subjugate a people to this level and extent. It's like you're creating an atmosphere of hate, and you're creating this atmosphere of resentment because Muslims don't, and you can as a religious figure substantiate this, that we don't have a history of persecuting Jews. Jews ran away from persecution to Muslim lands.
Interestingly, I was speaking to somebody from Morocco recently, and they were talking about the Spanish Inquisition, when the people of Europe, they took over Spain after the Moors had ruled it, and they massacred the Jews and Muslims and other types of Christians that they didn't approve of. The Spanish Inquisition is well famous, you can Google it. Many of the Jews from Spain, they actually went to Morocco and Algeria and Northern Africa to seek refuge, and they lived there financially very strong and successfully for generations, till today, you know? So this is not about, you know, Jew and Muslim. It's obviously about oppression of a people and innocent lives that are being lost. And I think we all agree that, you know, innocent life should be protected.
All human life is precious.
Of course,
all human. Human, not just children, but
yeah, children, all human. Human life. I mean, yes. Women. I mean, men. Even right now, as we speak, there's still a genocide going on. There's still bombs being dropped, kids that are being killed, hospitals that are being bombed, churches, mosques, and so on. And the world is watching, and not speaking out. You know, yes, October 7th, but what about everything? You know, now we're into March almost, right? And, you know, everything that's been going on before that and since that is what people forget. And again, I really appreciate you coming and making this clarification that you stand with the people of Palestine and you stand with the innocent of Israel and other places, and everybody who's innocent should be protected regardless. And, you know,
I don't stand usually the terrorist group.
Yes.
It doesn't matter where they're from.
Whether IDF or so on.
It doesn't matter if they're just killing innocent people. Yes, yes. I'm against that. That's why my father always said, I'm from Brazil. Mm. But you never saw me carrying a Brazilian flag. Because my father said, you belong to the world.
That's beautiful.
I've been to Qatar.
How'd you like
Kuwait,
it?
Dubai, Jordan. Azerbaijan, to nice. Been all over the place over there, the Middle East. And I always joke, I love it. Yeah. I love the food. The food is awesome. The
food is amazing.
Yeah.
I was just there myself. I was in Dubai, Sharjah, Kuwait, and Doha, Qatar. And I gotta say, the food was amazing. Yeah.
But I don't know, like I agree with my son. I don't know if I can do the Ramadan not eating for what? For how long you don't eat?
From the morning, sunrise to sunset.
But for how long? How many days?
So no, we eat every night.
But how many days?
For 1 month. So 1 month
without eating during the daytime?
Yes.
I don't know if I can do that. I think
you're very disciplined.
I can do it for a couple of days.
Look, you're very competitive. So I'm sure, and if you're doing it for the right reason, because if you're just doing it for yourself, but when you confirm that this is indeed from the creator of the heavens and the earth, and you're doing what God wants you to do, you're definitely,
I can spend 2 days.
How many people have said this? How many people have said this?
Zero, no eating for two and a half days. But after that, we eat at night.
You'd be surprised.
So the thing is, you're not eating the whole time because you eat at night, right? So I'll tell you what, I can tell you're a well-disciplined man, right? To be at the level that you were, I mean, from grappling and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and so on, you had to discipline yourself. You couldn't eat what you want, right? I'm sure if you were just sitting on in a couch, popcorns and ice cream and sodas, you wouldn't be in the shape that you are. You'd be in the shape that I am. No, I'm just kidding. Right?
Hey, I'm on the same fighting weight, okay? For 30 years.
So how did you maintain that?
Discipline.
There's your key. Same thing with Ramadan. It's discipline.
But Ramadan, you guys eat at night, right?
We do.
I like my sleeping too. Sleeping is part of my routine over here of discipline.
No, I'll tell you what.
I'll skip a couple of days.
Let's do this. Let's do a day. Me and you.
I can do a couple of days. I've been actually 2.5 days without eating at all.
Oh, wow.
Just drinking water.
That's amazing.
That's how disciplined.
I'll tell you what. Let's do this. But this coming Ramadan, around the 10th, 11th of March, we'll start Ramadan. Me and you will do 1 day together. I mean, I'm going to do the whole month.
I can do a couple days. No problem.
Once you do that.
It's after sun.
From sunrise to sunset, you're going to be straight.
Only water.
No water. No food. No sexual intercourse.
From sunrise to sunset.
Yeah, that's it.
So hold on. Let's go to a place with the sunset. Where it's like a very short daytime.
We're going to be there for the month. We're coming to Norway.
Then I can do it.
Arctic Circle. We're going to have a couple of hours of not eating and we're good to go.
Yep.
But I'll tell you, I have a lot of friends that became Muslims. And a lot of them
Before you can define what a Muslim is, because a lot of times people will stigmatize like Muslim terrorist, Muslim Arab, Muslim in the desert riding a camel. What is a Muslim?
Yeah, so I think first and foremost, just to be clear.
Muslim, Palestinian.
Yeah.
Palestinians and Hamas.
Right, so Palestinian is a nationality. Many Palestinians are Christians. Many are Muslim. Many are of other denominations, you know. So that's a nationality. Arab is a ethnic race. Less than 14% of the Muslim world today is Arab. Palestinian is a very small percentage, but Arab. Muslim is to submit your will to your creator. The word Muslim comes from the word aslama, to submit, which is the same root word as peace, salam, right? Salama, this is the asal if you go back, right? So when you submit your will to your creator and you say, you know, my God, my creator knows better than me. It's not my will, it's the will of the creator. Like Jesus, as we find in the Bible today, being quoted, that saying that it's not my will, it's the will of the Father, right?
You know, one important thing, what he said earlier, he believes that Jesus was a messenger of God.
Yes, and we have the same belief, right?
That's what we believe.
So we have the same belief that Jesus is not God, Moses is not God, Muhammad is not God, peace and blessings be upon them. They are messengers, prophets who brought a message, right? Which is something you were saying earlier, right? So that's the same belief. So as Jesus, peace be upon him, he submitted, he fasted, right? In the Bible, right? He prayed. In the Bible, he put his forehead on the ground and prayed. And when you see us pray, it's the same prayer. So as Jesus fasted, as Moses fasted, peace and blessings be upon them, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as I was speaking to your very intelligent son who was asking really good questions earlier, right? What is the role of messengers is to bring that message and show us an example how to do it, right? So I'll tell you this, a lot of my friends that were Christians, that were Catholics, that were atheists, that were Jewish, that are Muslim today, a lot, when they heard about Ramadan, they were like, oof, I don't know about that one, right? But I tell you, when you fast a couple of days, you will love it so much that for me, one of the saddest times when Ramadan's ending. You know, my favorite time of the year is Ramadan. I'm healthier in Ramadan. I drink more water in Ramadan than the rest of the year because I'm horrible about not drinking water. But in Ramadan, I'm like, I better drink some water, right? And I eat healthier in Ramadan than I do outside. I personally, I lose weight in Ramadan. Although a lot of people, I have to be honest, they gain weight because they know, really enjoy their food in Ramadan. But I'll tell you this, you know, when you haven't had food all day and you haven't had drink all day, that first sip of water, that first bite of food, it's the tastiest, you appreciate it. And then you remember that there are people in favelas to ghettos that, you know, from different areas that don't have the luxuries we have. That, you know, people in Palestine right now, in Gaza, that they don't have food because the borders have been shut off. So you feel the pain of others. Because sometimes, as you know, you kind of get caught up in the worldly life, you know. And Ramadan kind of brings you back to your center. Like the five-time prayers that we have, the same thing. You get caught up in your daily routine, money, world, you know, whatever your test may be. Everybody has a different test. For some, it may be women. For some, it may be men. Some, it may be money. It may be fame. But when you stand up and you pray, it reminds you that there is a God that's greater than you, that you have a purpose more than just what, you know, making money and living out your life. So Ramadan, Hajj, as we were talking about earlier, you know, when you go for that pilgrimage to Mecca and you see people from all different nationalities and you drop those labels, you know, because in the world, you see somebody dressed a certain way, you assume certain things about them, right? Somebody's in a custom-made suit with a Rolex and a Ferrari and a Bentley and all of that, you assume they're successful. You see somebody, you know, broke on the side of the street, you assume they're failures. You look at somebody dressed a certain way, you assume they're Mexican or they're Pakistani or so on. But when you go there and you see everybody wearing the same thing, two pieces of white, simple cloth, nobody's got a Bentley and nobody's on a bike, eating together.
I'm not a Muslim. Can I go?
You can definitely come visit, for example, Medina right now. There are, you know, some programs that have been set up for non-Muslims to come visit.
Can I go during Ramadan?
In Ramadan, yeah. If you want to go to Medina, you can visit Medina. Right now, it's open. Medina is a city of the Prophet. It's next to Mecca.
What I see on TV that on
No, this is Mecca. Here, we're going to have to get you a special visa, which is the Shahada. So you have to be Muslim for that one.
Mecca is where?
Mecca is where the Kaaba is, where the people go around it.
What country?
Saudi Arabia. Both of them are in Saudi Arabia.
Medina.
Both of them in Saudi Arabia.
You've been to Saudi Arabia?
No, I haven't been to Saudi Arabia. If I want to go to Mecca.
The Mecca, the holy, the haram, the sanctuary. This
could
is,
I go to Mecca?
You could when you're Muslim.
Only if you're Muslim.
Yeah, yeah. But that's easy.
Medina, I can go without being Muslim.
In Medina right now, they have non-Muslims that are allowed to visit. Yes. But you can, Saudi Arabia obviously can go.
How would they know if I'm Muslim?
Oh, they trust you. So it's on your word. You know? But Riyadh, for example, there's a lot of UFC events and stuff that's going on. I heard in Riyadh right now.
The visa to get in there is very simple. It's La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except the one God, the Creator, and Muhammad is the Messenger. That's the visa.
That's it. I mean, but think about it. You already believe there's one God. You don't believe we should worship idols or, you know, cows or anything, right? You believe that God sent messengers like Abraham and Moses and Jesus and Muhammad. You believe there are messengers. You're Muslim.
I don't eat pork.
Oh,
I don't drink alcohol.
You don't drink alcohol.
You're there.
The only thing I cannot smoke that. How do you call that?
We don't smoke that stuff either.
How do you call that?
The shisha.
Shisha.
Yeah, no, don't smoke shisha, please. Yeah. I don't smoke shisha. Shisha is not halal. No, that's not.
I don't smoke shisha, I don't drink, I don't eat pork.
That's it. So you're Muslim already. You have the Muslim belief.
Okay. I just got to let my beard grow.
Yeah, it looks good. No, it's in fad nowadays, right? I mean, as a Muslim, you don't have to have a beard. It is a wajib, it's an obligation. The Prophet ordered it. But the core of what makes a Muslim is your belief, what we call aqidah, belief, right? So you, as Horace Gracie, you believe that there is none that should be worshipped except one God?
Yes. Correct.
You believe that God sent messengers?
Yes.
Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, you believe they were messengers?
Yes.
That's a Muslim. That's it.
I can go to Mecca now.
Now you can go to Mecca. We're gonna do your shahada. We're gonna do the testimony, and then we're gonna go to Mecca together. How's that?
We gotta go to Mecca one day.
We'll do it, inshallah.
Inshallah.
You already know that. That's excellent. Yeah. Earlier, you know, salam alaikum. You know, alaikum assalam.
I belong to the world.
Of course, Muslims are not segregated by race. Right, we don't claim to be a chosen people by ethnicity. I'm not Arab. He's not Arab. Nobody here is Arab, right? As a Brazilian is Muslim in the same respect, same line would be a Chinese Muslim, would be an African Muslim, would be a Russian Muslim. We have no segregation in that. We believe the only person who is better is the one that's more pious. And Allah knows the hearts. We don't know the hearts, right? Whoever is closer to God, whoever is a better person, is superior. This is what we call taqwa, right? We do not believe in saying, okay, because I'm Muslim, I'm from a certain country. No, like me, I'm American. That's my passport, right? Ethnically, I'm Pashtun, right? But I don't carry any flag with me, right? Because like your father told you, right? You belong to the world. I believe that all humans are created by the same creator. I believe the same God that sanctioned and sent Abraham as a prophet, that sent Moses as a prophet, that sent David as a prophet, that sent Jesus as a prophet, sent Muhammad as a prophet. And when I say their names, I say peace be upon them because I respect and love all of them. Right? So you agree that there is none that should be worshipped except one God. Right?
Yes.
And you agree, you testify that Muhammad is a messenger as Jesus and Abraham were messengers.
Yes.
That's a Muslim testimony. We're going to do it in Arabic. You ready? All right, say it with me.
How do you say peace upon God?
Peace be upon him.
How do you say that in
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or you can say alayhi salam.
Alayhi salam.
Perfect. Your Arabic is good. Your pronunciation is good.
It's because I don't have to twist the words.
Ah.
It's very easy for us to learn.
Wonderful. You got to teach me some Brazilian.
Yeah.
I speak poco español.
It's very similar. Really? I mean, the pronunciations, very the same.
Amazing. Yes. Amazing.
Close this thing before we shift off. And I want to, obviously, Hoyce, Gracie, who's here with us, there is, well, many people thought that now he hates Muslims. We've closed that door. This is something that you...
We've clarified that.
And just
I'm
so...
I'm against all genocides.
Yeah.
We agree.
You had something with, I don't know much of the politics and presidents in Brazil and whatnot, but I was even listening to the current president of Brazil. He was also standing on the side of Palestinians saying, this is a genocide. This needs to stop. What's his name?
Lula.
Did you see his statements on this? Yeah.
Que não está vendo que na faixa de Gaza não está acontecendo uma guerra, mas genocídio. De que não é uma guerra entre soldados e soldados, é uma guerra entre exército altamente preparado e mulheres e crianças.
So, if this was happening to Jews, Muslims would also be against this. And I wanted to make this point because when people saw this post seeing an Israeli flag, it's what's associated with it. Human rights organizations like Amnesty International, even the Jewish human rights organization, they've declared that this is an apartheid state. I don't know if you know what apartheid state, just like South Africa was at one time. So this is why you got such a backlash that thinking that you also now are racist, like this state is, thinking that you also are somebody who supports apartheid, who supports terrorism against innocent human beings, but obviously there's a lot more to unpackage, and now you're getting to see a bigger picture. Have you ever got to hear the other side? Have you ever sat like this to hear what's happening from the other side, why there's this, what's happening there?
I did one time, I did a tour. It was Kuwait, Jordan, Azerbaijan, Dubai, Israel. It was like 7-8 countries that I went in the Middle East. So my post was just the flags in order of which country I'm going to.
Nice.
Because I post the Israeli flags, again, I got hate mail from, I tell them, you guys are cousins. Come on, you guys are all cousins around over there. Why? Because I put the flag of Israel. I was like, let's say I was going to Kuwait, to Jordan, to Azerbaijan, to Dubai, to Israel, to because I put the Israeli flag in that order. When you flip, it was a picture of each flag, and people sending messages like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you going to Israel." Blah, blah, talking. It's like, why?
Yeah, so I think that's the key is that when you look at, for example, Kuwait or Qatar, or you know, there isn't a apartheid state. Meaning, for example, I was just in Kuwait, right? And Kuwait, it was wonderful. I really had a good experience. And I was sitting with a lot of expats, meaning people that were not from Kuwait, that were living there. And I met people, including in the UAE, in the Emirates, that were not Muslim, that have moved from Europe and the US and so on because they feel that their children have a better environment to be raised in the Middle East today than in the Western world because of all the, you know, the nonsense that's being forced on the kids in schools, and I think you know about all that stuff, right? So when you go there, you see that people have a peaceful life, people are not being driven out of their own home, people are not being killed in the streets and so on, and that's why you don't have that kind of terrorism and things, problems in those countries. The problem that we see right now, I'm not just talking about Gaza, but even West Bank and Jenin, is when, like you were saying earlier, military and settlers just come in and take over somebody's house, and you can see the videos online.
We understand that Israeli soldiers came in this morning and, without any notice, without any invitation, came into the apartment and have been there ever since.
We cannot speak with you. There is a soldiers.
There's soldiers?
Yes.
What are they doing here?
We are prison here.
What's happening?
They are keeping here, and the soldiers are upstairs. We cannot move. We cannot speak with you.
You can't leave the house?
No.
They told you that?
Yes. I can't breathe.
How long are they going to stay?
I don't know.
Are they paying you any money?
You are kidding.
He told us when the soldiers come, they wake everybody up and herd them into a kitchen for hours while soldiers sleep in their bedrooms. They can't leave or use the phone or let us in. When the children returned, we caught a glimpse of two armed soldiers at the top of the stairs.
Or you can see it in person and just take people out of their own homes. And, you know, people that have lived on a land for generations are being taken, saying, well, biblically, it's my land, right? So, I mean, we could say, well, Moses was Muslim to us, so it's our land. You know, that's not something you can argue about. So
when I put flags of the countries that I fix, I mean, that I go visit, for one side to complain, and I know it's a small minority. I'm not saying thousands and millions of people come here. No, I get about maybe 30 to 40 people that come in and talk trash.
Yeah.
We should have visited all those counts besides this one. It's like, why?
Yeah.
And the way I look at it, it's the only way for me to express and see and talk and explain what's going on is to visit the people in person.
Sure. I think we need to do a Gaza tour coming up for Hoyce.
Would you ever, I mean, when everything... If the opportunity was to open, would you ever visit Gaza?
Of course. Yeah. I've been to Israel many times.
Yeah.
Just to go across the border.
And that's what usually people, when they go to the other side, then it kicks in. Then they're like, wow. They see the reality of what's happening.
When you go to West Bank, I don't know if you've been to West Bank or Gaza, life there is very different than you will in Tel Aviv, right? Because the government doesn't treat the people, right? I mean, for example, when you were in occupied Palestine right now, nobody controlled food going in and out of Tel Aviv, right? But in Gaza, it's blocked off, right? The Israeli government controls the sea, they control the borders. So even food, right now, children are starving, right? So this is why it's different than Qatar, right? Where you don't have that issue going on.
Did you hear there's an interesting documentary where they were showing that the people of Palestine, a certain area, they didn't want to be dependent now on the milk getting from the certain, from the Jews there, the Zionists, so they bought a certain amount of cows. And what this illustrated was that now they were producing their own milk. These are a lot of doctors, engineers, so they got people to figure out how to milk, and then they started producing milk. And then what happened was the government came and they were like, uh-oh, this is a problem. So now they passed some ordinances saying this is a security threat, da 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 da.
And
they
cows,
went after
huh?
They went after the cows now. So this is just one example of milk. We're not talking about just milk, the water supply, the electricity. So imagine we get pissed off if someone parks in our driveway. Imagine now somebody controlling, you know, what you eat, you know, your electricity. You can see how. And, you know, say someone comes in your home and throws you in the basement and takes over your home. So this is the root of the issue. It's, again, not Muslims versus Jews. Historically, this has not been the case. Jews and Muslims have lived in a relative peace, even Christians. But this is like you were this term. This is the Zionists who want to go ahead and take over this whole area and force people out of their homes. 800,000 illegal settlements in the West Bank, and it's constantly happening.
Which the United Nations and others have condemned.
So United Nations, international law, they have condemned this.
I am not a historian.
Yeah.
But I heard the other side. Again, I'm not a historian. So, I don't want to get into history.
If you think of it this way, right? For example, you own a home, right? You live in California? I think you live in California, right?
Florida now,
right? Let's say a Native American comes and says, this is now my house. Would you walk out?
No.
Why not? They could tell you that. Well, exactly. So that's exactly the point. So when somebody from Germany and Austria and Poland comes to Palestine and says, this is my home, that's exactly what the Palestinian people, exactly what you said. They said, prove it, because we've been here for generations. Well, I mean, again, no doubt all of the Americas was at one time owned by the Native Americans, but you bought a house, you live in it, your family lives in it. It's not the right for somebody to just come and take it because they claim
their
land, right? And again, I personally have great empathy for the people of the Jewish faith that went through the Holocaust and the horrible atrocities in World War II. But again, that wasn't the Palestinians, that was the Germans. I think it would be a great idea for Germany, even today, to cut from Berlin all the way to Bonn and give it to the Israeli people to go live. No problem. I mean, if that's who caused the genocide, they're the one that should pay for it. It just doesn't make sense that the issue happens in Europe, Hitler and Germany and the Holocaust and all of that, and then you take land away from a people that were peacefully living there, the Palestinian people, and you give it to them, right? That's like me saying, you know, for example, I'm from SoCal, from San Diego, right? And we used to have a lot of gang wars and shootouts and all that kind of stuff that I lived through. And for me to say I've been through all that trauma, that's it, Alaska's mine now. So the people of Alaska would be like, what do we got to do with this, right?
Yeah, so. And you do. I have Israeli friends, Jewish friends. I've had them on the program. One interesting individual is Miko Pilled. His father was a general in the Israeli army. His great-grandfather was one of the original signers of the Declaration of Independence. And rabbis, Orthodox rabbis, who are also, their humanity is on. And they are also people who come out and speak against this, the killing of innocent life that's happening now. So this is another thing that people who are out there, they can see that there's Jews, a voice for peace, and others to substantiate. This is not a Jew-Muslim thing. This is just a human thing that we, God has given us certain rights. And now for someone to come and say, God gave me this land, and many of the people who even started this movement, the Theodore Herzls, if you look at it, they didn't even believe in God. So they use this as a pretext, excuse to go ahead and justify this oppression and whatnot. And then these things that are happening with Hamas, PLO, these are excuses to go in there and land grab more. So.
So I think we've made the issue very clear. I think we're all on the same page. Innocent life, whether
all human
or others
life is
should
precious.
Be protected. No. And we stand.
And we're going to Mecca.
And we're going to Mecca. That's it. So let's do this. Let's do this. All right. So you do believe there's only one God?
Yes.
Right? You have no problem testifying to that?
Yes.
And you believe that Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad were all messengers of God?
Yes.
You don't worship any of them, right?
No.
Okay. We're going to do the testimony. I'm going to do it with you. All right? Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
Al. La.
La.
Ilaha.
Ilaha.
Illallah.
Illallah.
Wa.
Ashhadu.
Ashhadu. Anna.
Anna.
Muhammada.
Muhammada.
Abduhu.
Abduhu.
Wa rasuluh.
Wa rasuluh.
Allahu Akbar. That's amazing. All right, we're going to say it in English, all right? I bear witness.
I bear witness.
There is none worthy of worship.
There is none worthy of worship.
Except one Allah.
Except one Allah.
And I bear witness.
And I bear witness
that Muhammad,
the Muhammad
is a messenger of Allah.
It's a message of Allah.
Allahu Akbar. Muslim. Allah that's Akbar. It. We're going to Mecca. Mecca trip coming up together, inshallah.
Thanks.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Right. I'm going to, before we end, I have to tell you about a form of martial arts you haven't heard about.
Yeah.
All right. So Brazil, you have BJJ, right? Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Karate is from Japan, right? Kung Fu or watching, or what is it? Wushu from China. We Pashtuns have a form of martial arts called Ching Ching Pao. Never heard of it, huh? Ching Ching Pao.
I told him you're into guns.
Hey, be careful, because he's always scary. He's always scary.
Excellent.
I told him you're into guns.
That's why he came over, because he went to pick up one. You won.
Yeah.
Nice.
He just arrived.
Well, what is it? So,
all right, yeah. Cool. It's in the car, yeah.
Guys, amazing. We made history.
That's amazing.
Here, and we're at the Dean Center. We are officially opening next week, but I got to give you a tour soon. Hoy's got to see a tour here at the Dean Center, Educational Center, and the Masjid here.
In Tampa, we're going to pray our first prayer together, inshallah.
Legend, Hoy's Gracie here. Alhamdulillah. We'll see you guys next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
We needed the Dean Center to be here. We are blessed. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. You guys know the hadith that the person who takes one step towards Allah, Allah will take 10 towards them. So can you imagine you taking that step towards Allah and contributing towards the cause of your creator? We are here hard at work. Let's go ahead and take a look what's going on. Where are we at now?
We are almost done with the wudu area.
We're trying to finish the wudu area for the outside. Alhamdulillah, we did great achievements so far. Still much going on, you know, we need a lot of work to get this where we need to have it. But inshallah, we'll get there with the support. I'm very excited. I really can't wait to have it finished.
We're here hard at work, working to get the masjid open this blessed month of Ramadan, working hard to get the educational Dawah Center open so we can educate humanity on the most misunderstood way of life out there, yet the fastest growing Islam. So do your part and contribute, donate right now.